Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Every week before the scripture reading, I share a show and tell, something to think with and pray with as we enter into God's Word. The show and tell this morning is the tomb of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. There it is on that pedestal at the center of a reflecting pool with Ebenezer Baptist Church in the background, with the tomb of Coretta Scott King alongside. I'm not sure this picture was taken after Mrs. King's death. Mrs. King's epitaph that's on the other side of the tomb here quotes the Apostle Paul, "Faith, hope, and love abide, and the greatest of these is love." Dr. King's epitaph is his own words, free at last, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last." Those words came true 53 years ago today, 10 days before Easter that year, when Dr. King was assassinated. Our sung response after the benediction this Easter season actually was written in light of Dr. King's assassination and the fact that it happened so close to Easter. It is an Easter hymn celebrating the way that new life shines forth even after that death. People visit Dr. and Mrs. King's tomb, as you can see there. They visit to express their gratitude and their respect. Many who go on pilgrimage to that tomb may be inspired to live more courageously, but no one expects to see him walking around when they go to visit. It is a tomb, after all. You probably already know that today's scripture reading takes place at a tomb, a more humble tomb than Dr. King's. On Friday afternoon, we remember the story that Jesus was killed and was buried in a tomb. Long before that, Jesus had been making some powerful enemies. He had been gathering a community together called the Kingdom of God. He healed, he taught, he fed, he confronted the powerful. And last Sunday, he rode into Jerusalem for the Passover festival. On Thursday, he taught us that his sacrifice would set us free from slavery to sin. And that night, one of his disciples turned on him, handed him over to the religious leaders, who handed him over to the political authorities, who handed him over to the power of death. The men among his followers hid from the power of death that claimed Jesus on Friday, but the women, they stayed together. They stayed together watching from a distance, and they saw where the tomb was. They saw Jesus laid, buried there behind a stone. And on Friday evening, they continued the work. They gathered spices to anoint Jesus' body for burial. It was a final act of care that they would offer to him. But before they could do that, they had to wait through the Sabbath, deep in their grief. The story will resume at the earliest blush of dawn on Sunday morning. Will you pray with me? O Lord, dwell with us. Open the scriptures to us to make us wise. Tell us the good news of resurrection and set our hearts on fire with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Y'all remember last Easter, right? It was our fifth Sunday worshiping online, and it had already gone on longer than we had originally expected. We had no idea that we would still be at it now. I know I didn't. I knew that we were being cautious, not gathering in person. Covenant has worked this last year throughout to answer Christ's call to be careful for the sake of our most vulnerable neighbors. And we know more now than we did last year. We know so much about vaccines, thank God for those. We know about treatments. We know about precautions like masks and ventilation. And we know who is at the greatest risk, those who are poor in the United States and certainly elsewhere in the world, people of color especially. Covenant's decisions about when and how we gather are based on the best non-political public health expertise we can find. We are following case rates, which are going up again in Polk County. Your vaccine and your precautions, continued precautions, are helping to bring those case rates back down. 1 year along, we still think about life and death every day. 2 million deaths. Changes in everyday life that we may never end up changing back. I invite you to meditate a little bit on that question this morning. What has been the death this last year? Literally from this disease or from other causes, or figuratively parts of life that are gone as if dead. And on the other side, what has come back to life? Maybe hasn't even come back to life. What has come to life for the first time this year? The women in our scripture reading are still thinking about death. They're going to a tomb, after all. They're going to a tomb to do what needs to be done for their teacher who was murdered by the political and religious power brokers of his day. They're going to offer this final act of faithfulness, to pour out love in the form of grief. And they're at a loss when they find that even the body is gone now. And then two men dressed like lightning show up and they ask, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" Surely that's a rhetorical question. These men know something that the women can't know yet. The men know, these angels know, that Jesus is already risen. We find that the resurrection has happened when we weren't even looking for it. Notice that nobody finds Jesus today. Nobody actually sees Jesus on this Easter morning in the way that Luke tells us this story. There are other witnesses, other stories, other gospels that tell the story differently. It's common for witnesses to a true story to differ and remember things differently. We will see the risen Christ next week as we continue reading in Luke's story, and so I hope you will join us for worship again next week, and we will see Jesus in human flesh. But for now the tomb is empty. For now the tomb is just empty. We need this time, we need this space, we need even this emptiness in order to digest the reality of what has happened. We need this time, this emptiness, to grieve. We need this time to be present in the very beginning of the resurrection. See, the resurrection does not preempt grief. The resurrection does not cancel our grief. The resurrection shines through that grief. The women need time to remember what they will see when the time comes. As the angel says, "Remember what he said. He will be handed over and crucified and rise again." As much as we need the tomb in order to remember, Jesus does not want us ultimately looking at the tomb. Dr. King wouldn't want us focused on his tomb either. He would want the movement that he led for a time to continue until Adam Toledo's life matters too, until Breasia Terrell's life matters too. Jesus doesn't want us to remember him at the tomb where that dead body briefly lay. He wants us to remember his life that still changes the world. To remember his life that still changes the world. That's a different kind of remembering. That's a different kind of remembering than we might think if we're just thinking about facts and data. This is a remembering that is about resurrection. The Bible insists that resurrection is not just a simple return to the way things used to be. Instead, the resurrection is mysterious and transformative. It is a life that endures death and continues out the other side. Mary and Joanna and Mary and the others, they don't see the physical resurrection yet today. And for my part, I'm usually in that place as well, stuck somewhere between grief and hope in that emptiness. But what they have is the remembrance of Jesus' words before his death, the remembrance of the resurrection itself, which they haven't even quite seen yet, but they will see and understand and even remember later. What they have is Jesus' life that is appearing among them when they least expect it, in the midst of their everyday work of faithfulness. We remember Jesus' resurrection today and ideally all the time in life as Covenant Presbyterian Church. That's not a literal remembering, as if all we have to do is to just know that it happened. To remember the resurrection is to see how Jesus' life restores and transforms us even today. To remember the resurrection is when we see again and again how Jesus' teaching guides us through life. When we celebrate this meal that brings us into his presence. When we live in a community that is filled with the healing power that we know is the Holy Spirit. When we look for where Christ is visible, where Christ is dazzling even, in the world beyond ourselves, the resurrection life is out there beyond just ourselves. Today, we remember that life that keeps rising up, even from a year filled with death. I invite you to tell us in the comments. Tell us where you see and remember those signs of the resurrection in the midst of the world this Easter. And we will bring those signs of resurrection to the table when we gather for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Maybe you see signs of life, signs of resurrection in the things that matter more to us because we lost them for so long, like meals with friends and family, like the joy of singing together safely, like hugs and handshakes with consent. Maybe you see life in places that arose when we weren't expecting it. Maybe you see life in new movements for racial and gender and economic justice in the world. Maybe you see new life in the funds that provide mutual support for communities and churches. Maybe you see life in the way that we are recognizing people with extra need and extra vulnerability. The ways that we remember that we are not whole until everyone has what they need. You may see something else. You may see some other sign of life that you are seeing and remembering in the world today. Share those in the comments, and we will bring those to the table, to the glory of Christ, who died and who lives again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Even as we celebrate Easter, we remember those who continue to lack access to sustainable food sources, clean water, sanitation, education, and opportunity. We remember those who are affected by disaster, hunger, and oppression. The One Great Hour of Sharing offering supports Presbyterian disaster assistance, some of the first folks to arrive after a disaster and some of the last to leave. Supports the Presbyterian Hunger Program, helping to feed communities in our country and around the world. It supports self-development of people, where communities and coalitions of individuals are able to lift themselves up with our support. We dedicate this One Great Hour of Sharing offering today. All you need to do is write OGHS in the memo line of your check, or in the designation line when you give via PayPal. You can mail your check to the church, or you can give online at the address on the screen, wdmcovenant.org/donate.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.